The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I have a very important question. Is it Friday?
No.
Okay.
Why would you say that, Doug, on a Tuesday? Why would you say, is it Friday on a Tuesday? Everybody out there right now, if you're listening, and by the way, we say good morning to you, driving around the 101. Maybe you're out on the 303 loop. Who lives out on the 303, ladies and gentlemen? Maybe you're in the shade of the White Tank Mountains, my brothers. Wherever you may be listening right now, that is the question that we're asking this morning, right? Is it Friday? You're killing me, Douglas.
You know one way to tell for sure whether or not you're a townie. For those of you that have been born and raised here, and versus someone like me, who I was lucky enough to come out here for a lot of vacations. I should say a lot, maybe three, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then lived here now for 14 years. Is that if you townie Maloney's a townie? If you get excited about the rain, oh my gosh, it's raining! It's
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that means you're a true Southern Arizona. I mean, I don't know how they feel in Flagstaff.
You're a native,
but you're a native because whenever it gets like this, I immediately get grumpy because it's like, this is why I don't live in Ohio anymore.
Right.
I didn't want to be a part of that. Don't bring that crap around here. I just hate it. And while everybody else, you're really excited about
natives
this kind
love
of
I
know,
this stuff.
I know.
The Warrior Queen Basinonians, born and raised, of course, in Arizona right now, a native through and through, loves the rain, just thinks this is the greatest thing in the history of mankind. We actually had multiple days back-to-back of rain here in the basin, right? I'm on the other hand right here. I'm from Buffalo, New York, ladies and gentlemen, and we know what it's like to get bad weather. We understand what bad weather is all about, coming in off the lake, and oh, by the way, blindsided off the lake out of nowhere. You'll see it on Doppler radar. You'll see a cloud, a cell form out of nothing right over Lake Erie, and then boom, it dumps it right on Buffalo, New York, Orchard Park, right in the middle of the snow belt. It gets so bad when that happens. We know what bad weather is all about. I can take a couple days of this. I look at this and I see the positives for our reservoirs, the positives for our state. It's a great thing when we get this rain. But after about 2 days, it's enough. It's time to go away, isn't it? But natives, no way. Natives are like, this is the greatest moment of my life because it's rained 3 days in a row. Interesting. It's all about perspective, is it not, my brothers?
Ernesto didn't talk about the rain, but he tweeted the show just to give you a re-shout-out since you mentioned the 303, saying, I live in Buckeye, and it's a punch you in the face Tuesday. Here we go.
How far is Buckeye from Wickenburg? That's the question.
It's much further south, but both west side.
I'm just kidding a little bit.
It goes Goodyear, kind of. Buckeye, Quartzsite.
Do you know anybody from Wickenburg? I think Wickenburg is kind of cool. Wickenburg, I kind of like the idea of, I don't know, you're not in the basin, but you're out of the basin, and yet you're overlooking the basin. That's kind of cool, is it not?
It's not like you could see
Wickenburg.
It. Yeah, no. By the way,
what kind of person lives in Wickenburg right now? Do they have a Fry's out there in Wickenburg? And that's not payola.
I'm assuming. Okay. I don't know for sure. I've been through Wickenburg on the way to Vegas, but I was going too fast to really look around.
There's nothing better than hunting at Fry's, right? Based on onions. We all
it's
know
not
this
hunting.
Right here, Dad.
Don't
you got the
that.
Cart out
it's
there,
not
and you're walking around, and all of a sudden you see this loaf of bread, and it's just grazing right there on the shelf, right? This loaf, and you stab it, and you throw it into the cart. It is a beautiful thing. That's the one thing I actually enjoy. We've talked about this in the past. I would say the one errand I enjoy running with a Warrior Queen is shopping, pushing around the shopping cart, hunting at a Fry's. Aisle number 13, please.
By the way, I had to tell you this. I was driving home yesterday. I forget when I left work, pretty early. So sometime around 10:30, 10:45, I'm on the road. And as I'm driving, all of a sudden something just hit me in the face. And I almost sent my once a year text to you already and wasted it in January.
What?
By the way, Wolf and I never text each other.
Right.
Never call.
Never.
The name, Ken Maurer.
Ken Maurer.
If you remember yesterday, I could not. You
Ken
mentioned
Maurer.
Who's the ref with the crazy stretch pregame routine, and I told you I can't remember his name. Hey. It's the guy with the hair slick back. I couldn't remember his name, and I don't know why I blanked on it. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody of you listening at work, where you just can't remember something for your. I mean, it's just it's crazy. You see the guy's face, and you have zero idea, and then you're not thinking about it at all. I wasn't thinking about it at all, and I was like, boom, Ken Maurer.
Ken Maurer.
That's the guy.
Ken Maurer with the slick back black hair, correct?
Yes, and it's graying now.
Come on now. Ken.
And he does this weird, like, little groin hamstring stretch, and then he does this little run in place where it looks like a really bad 1950s dance. It's just the strangest thing in the world. And I totally blanked on his name when we were talking about NBA refs yesterday.
Yeah, that's great, right? So you remembered it.
I did. I just out of nowhere.
Frying pan. Bing!
By the way, Chris Paul was asked about officiating yesterday in a Zoom call with the media, and he just said, I'm going to decide to keep my money this time.
Yeah, right. That's and probably a wise
didn't say
thing
anything. I don't know. By the way, if you get a chance today, try to stop what you're doing in the 9 o'clock or in the 8:45 till the end of the show.
Okay.
We have – I'm amazed at – us being in Phoenix having nothing to do with the Super Bowl, and we have Super Bowl guests on either side of the fence today.
We do.
Alex Okafor is going to join us at 8:45.
Oak!
So we're going to ask him about having
that.
The ball thrown at his face. And then we don't know when for sure.
Yeah.
But ballparking it, in typical BA fashion,
no.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers told us sometime between 9 and 10 this morning.
Okay, sometime.
So at some point in the 9, point in the 9 o'clock hour, and then
right.
What's really cool about this,
hey,
Wolf's relationship with Bruce Arians, and then Max Starks played for Bruce Arians with the Steelers.
That's fantastic.
And we're going to be in the middle of Maximum Football, so it's going to be me, Wolf, Max, and B.A.
Cannot wait.
At some point in the 9 o'clock today.
Cannot wait to talk to B.A. about this, right? And especially with Max Starks, that is going to be absolute riot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Really, Betty?
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince.
Number five.
Okay, this might not bother anybody else, but it bothers me. Rory McIlroy is playing in the Phoenix Open this week, coming up next weekend for the first time in his career. Rory, don't be a wuss. Come back in 2022.
Damn.
If the only reason this is the year you're playing is because of the reduced fans at the game or at the event, come on. There is nobody that gives to charity like the Thunderbirds. It is one of the greatest golf events, and yeah, it's a little loud sometimes. Rory, suck it up. Be a man of the people. And again, I'm glad you're here. But when I heard this is the only time you've been and nobody knows if you're coming back, come on, Rory.
Rory, by the way, number 7 in the world right now, and the first time he's going to show up and play at the Waste Management. And not only that, Jason Day, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Day,
yeah.
The fourth time he's going to show up. That's kind of cool.
Number four.
I do not understand baseball negotiating. I do not understand why Rob Manfred and Tony Clark are still employed. Gentlemen, please go into a room and don't come out till you have a deal. As the owners offered the universal DH in order to get expanded playoffs, and the Players Association said no. The only reason I can think of that, because I know they want the universal DH, is because they want even more money or something else from the owners as well in order to play an expanded playoff, because they know the money the owners are going to make. Again, how do we have anybody arguing against playing baseball?
Well, negotiations have begun, so let the games begin.
Number three,
Arizona State University scored a basket at the 13-17 mark last night. It was their first one. Over 6.5 minutes without a basket, and it was one of the worst performances I've ever seen in the 13 years we've been here from a 14 years that I've seen from ASU basketball.
What is going on with the most talented team Bobby Hurley has ever had?
Christopher Bagley and Verge combined to go 6 of 21. Only 17 points between the three of them and had more turnovers than assists. Totally unprepared basketball team.
Number two.
Number two this morning is Chris Paul. And asked about what he's seen from DeAndre Ayton.
It's very important, not only on this team, but I think every team. The way DA's responded is unbelievable. I mean, seriously, the stuff that I've been seeing him from the last few games, you knew he had it inside of him. And I think we just got to keep growing, all of us together, and I think we'll be fine.
Still, the Doug and Wolf Show has received zero recantations from the Ayton haters. That, and now you just heard Chris Paul actually say, we knew he had it in him, and his response to the criticism and accountability has been great.
Never forget, Basinonians, confidence is the currency of competition.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, the Cardinals made some changes, additions, and promotions. It doesn't matter a thing to me. Wolf loves it. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I just dumped something on Wolf that I probably shouldn't have done at 6:16, 20 seconds before we come back on the air. But tell me, if you're the NFL, if it worries you, does anybody remember the play where Josh Allen rolled out in the AFC Championship game? Clearly looked like, if you're watching it on your couch, that he stepped out of bounds and then threw the ball. So because he stepped out of bounds, it's a sack, spot the ball there.
He actually jumped all the way out of bounds.
Yeah, then they reviewed it and realized, hey, that foot never hit out of bounds, so it's an incomplete pass, spot the ball at the original line of scrimmage. There's just one catch. That play's not reviewable.
It's not reviewable.
Yeah, Al Riveron is the guy in charge of the reviews, and it's not reviewable. According to the rules, once you step out of bounds, the play is over. And if a referee rules you're out of bounds, you can't – and think about it, that makes sense, because you can't have a guy running down the sideline, stepping on the white line, having a ref blow the play dead, and then you find out later, wait, he didn't really step on the white line. I need to give him 10 yards?
Right.
15 yards? What are you going to do?
Right,
add
exactly.
on the play afterwards?
Yes.
So even though the way that play happened –
it's not that you can't do it. It's that they blew the whistle
yes,
on it.
Yes. So even though in that specific play, it's easy to review it because all it changes is the spot, and it didn't change – the outcome of the play, the fact that Al Riveron is saying, oh, yeah, we'll review this. Shouldn't that guy know you can't review something?
Right. Roger Goodell was like, Al, can I see you in my
office? I mean, admittedly, please. I didn't know it was unreviewable while I was watching. I found out later on.
Oh, no. We were all over that. As a matter of fact, that's all we talked about. Forget about it. Are you kidding me?
New news. Arizona Cardinals have made some promotions and changes. Cliff Kingsbury said this in November on why the O-line was gelling, and he started with the offensive line coach.
Starts with Coach Kugler and the job he's done. Phenomenal O-line coach, run game scheme, the drill work he does with those guys, and then the camaraderie that he builds in that room. Those guys care about each other. They play that way. They play hard together, and it's fun to be around those guys every day and kind of their pursuit of excellence that you see and the way they work together.
I don't know when it started. I'll ballpark it at about 12 years. You might be able to say, oh, no, I remember this even back when you played. But I don't remember the phrase run game coordinator and pass game coordinator until about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I don't want to officially give you the offensive coordinator title, so I'll make something up. But Sean Kugler is still the O-line coach, but he's been promoted to having the extra title of run game coordinator. Cam Turner has moved his way up to quarterback coach, and Sean Jefferson's officially hired. You probably heard it a long time ago. It was reported about a week and a half ago or so that after the Detroit Lions had their staff cleaned out, Sean Jefferson took the job with the Arizona Cardinals. Now the Cardinals officially announced these three moves yesterday.
Yeah, this right here, Sean Kugler being promoted to run game coordinator is a big deal, Basin Ornings. It's a big deal to me because it represents, I think, a whole lot more than what most people are thinking. This is Sean Kugler getting rewarded with a promotion and a pay raise. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to find himself a confidant that is going to keep him accountable. And because of all of this, the Arizona Cardinals are going to get better. I believe this. Because of Cougs. Listen, I know he was actually fulfilling these duties last year But now it's official. And that official title raises the profile and, as I said, the paycheck of Sean Coogler and gives him more say and more responsibility, I would imagine. I don't know this to be the case, Basinonians. I don't. But this, to me, is it's the way that it works in the NFL. You get this title, you get a pay raise. That's what happens. And you get more say as well. And I'm hoping this means Coogs is going to be weighing in on some game management decisions as well. I think this is somebody that Cliff Kingsbury can confide in, a guy that I think they've hit it off. I think their relationship, they've hit it off, and it's somebody who can keep Cliff Kingsbury accountable. Ladies and gentlemen, we all need that guy. Do we not, by the way? Everybody out there listening right now, you need somebody, a brother or a sister, that can walk up to you and say, what are you doing? You're killing us.
Most of us have that. It's called wife.
Yeah, you need that. We all need that in our lives.
Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah, here's the thing. There's a very underrated movie called Awakenings. It's Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. Okay? And there's one part in the movie where I'll never forget Robin Williams said this, and it is such a great line to use if you're ever in a board meeting or something. If you were right, I'd agree with you.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that just hear the I agree with you. And they go, oh, okay, good. They don't realize just the beatdown you just got. I use that phrase now because I think everything you said is fantastic if it actually happens.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Coogler, if he is listened to, I think this really adds to or kind of fills in every weakness that we feel like on the outside we saw from the 2020 Cardinals. The thing I can't get my head around is he was there in 2019, he was there in 2020, and the issues are here. And if Cliff Kingsbury didn't listen to him before and didn't listen to him before, how does their relationship change when you say, oh, now you've got money, I have to listen?
Well, first of all, I would say this right here. I think a relationship is an ever-growing, evolving situation, correct? I mean, I think it's a friendship. Think of a friendship right now. Have you just met somebody that you just hit it off with immediately based on needs? Yeah, there are guys like that. There's no doubt about that. But for the most part,
no one likes me in the
you
meeting.
Really get to know somebody. You get to know somebody over years. And suddenly the regularity and the consistency of that person becomes very, very apparent to you. And maybe you like it, maybe you don't like it, whatever it may be. But it's experience with somebody that really matters. I think Cliff Kingsbury right now has had this experience with Sean Coogler. And I think that it's going to be a really, really good thing overall that now Coogs is going to have more say and more pay. It's good for him. I know that much. True. Mrs. Coogs loves it. Get the Gucci card out. Cha-ching!
I think this is – I'm not saying I'm right on this. I don't know. But think about the differences in the two scenarios here. If you're right, and this is something that Cliff Kingsbury is pushed for and is happy about, then this is a great thing. Because maybe Cliff has realized, I didn't listen enough. I've got to have somebody else in my ear. I'm not good at certain aspects, and now I've got the guy. But unfortunately, things like this happen in the exact opposite way. You're not doing this aspect well. I, as owner, I, as general manager, like what I'm seeing from this guy on the staff.
Sure.
So I'm promoting him, and you, and I'm paying him, so you understand you will listen.
Okay. Do you think that's a Sicilian message?
Yes, I do.
Do you think Cliff Kingsbury would be listening if, in fact, and I have no idea this is the case, but if, in fact, that were the case?
I don't know.
Do you think? Oh,
I would hope. But
warning. Warning bells are going off. Sound the alarms when that happens. If that were the case, Douglas, of course. Cliff Kingsbury's not dumb. He understands what's going on here. This is, I don't know what the situation is, Basinonians. I really do not. But I can tell you right now that Cliff Kingsbury is a guy that is humble. He's been that way since he showed up. He's super smart, and he's humble. And I think he's going to accept this, whatever the circumstances was of Sean Coogler being promoted, I think he's going to accept it and embrace it.
If you're right, this is humility. This is a great day. It really is. If you're right, this is going to be a huge benefit for the 2021 Arizona Cardinals. Where I have my concerns are kind of based on the beginning of this year. I was so gung-ho about the changes, and we always say it's around week five. Who knows where it happened on the interior, but around week five of 2019, it felt like the air raid became blended with actually hard-nosed running, yeah. And everything looked like it's going in the right direction.
I loved it.
And then I kept saying, for 2020, I hope he realized the different personnel groupings and the changes and establishing the run are a benefit to him. And I felt like we came into 2020 and we were right back where we started from in 2019. Almost like, okay, now I got D-Hop, now I can do it my way. And we went right back into the trenches again. And so I'm worried, are you going to listen? Because I'm with you. I believe more in Sean Coogler than I do Cliff Kingsbury, to be honest. I didn't realize that until I just started thinking about it. So I hope that this works, but I haven't seen Cliff twice.
Yeah, I haven't seen Cougs, and this is no attack on Cougs because I absolutely love him. I haven't seen him in a position where he's making decisions.
You're not a big fan of UTEP football?
I haven't. Yeah, I'm just saying. I have not seen him where he's doing that personally.
I get that. Coming up next, CP3 is holding people accountable. So is it enough to turn things around? What's next? On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Even though the shine is off the Suns right now, and that's the only way you can face it, we're still talking about a team that's in the hunt for the playoffs, and we've been missing it for a decade. But without the shine, it's still bright enough that I had the same reaction you did earlier yesterday. If you during a not-so-beautiful part of the program, Wolf looked at me and said, Suns don't play till Wednesday?
Yes.
It's like you don't want to wait that long.
Are you kidding me?
To watch them play, especially with the resurgence of DeAndre Ayton. And Chris Paul said something really interesting that if you're a Suns fan, you're going to want to hear it. He was doing a media Zoom call, and he was asked about how important is accountability. And it was kind of a question phrased in the way that Chris Paul's been a leader everywhere he's been. And how important is accountability and what you're seeing from DeAndre Ayton and the conversations that we've heard about that you and Devin Booker have had with DeAndre Ayton?
It's very important, not only on this team, but I think every team. The way DA's responded is unbelievable. I mean, seriously, the stuff that I've been seeing him from the last few games, you knew he had it inside of him. And I think we just got to keep growing, all of us together, and I think we'll be fine.
In other words, we saw it, we got it out, and we can't let him slip back.
You don't know what you don't know, right? How many times? We've heard that from everybody, right? Your uncle used to say that to you, right, Basinonians, all the time. You don't know what you don't know. To me, this is something that is so apparent for all of us, and yet it's the truth. DeAndre Ayton has always been the best player, most talented player on the court since he's been 12. I'm just saying, okay, embellishing to make a point. He is the most talented individual. He's got all of these skills. He's got the perfect frame. He's got everything you need to be dominating. And yet we have seen him struggle. Why is that? Because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know where that next level is. You don't know how far that bar can be raised. You don't know until you know. And now DeAndre Ayton knows. This is the reason why we've been screaming about this for years now with DeAndre Ayton. Years. Somebody needs to raise the bar. Somebody needs to coach effort. Because he doesn't know where it is. He's always been that talented. I can go out here and I can dominate. 18 and 12, 20 and 12, whatever it might be, I can come out here and I can produce for my team and we can win games. The problem is you just can't post numbers. There are opportunities that happen in a game that allow you to win games. There are moments in every game that allow you to win. You don't know what you don't know. And DeAndre Ayton didn't know where that bar of effort was. And I say, continue to raise it.
I admit this is, I don't know how many people have opinions that you know get you nowhere and no one agrees with you on. Like, I don't like the Rolling Stones. Okay, so there's just opinions that you have that nobody agrees with you
on. It's Mick Jagger. It's Jagger. Jagger bothers you, does he not, Basinonians, at some point in time? It's the way, the look on his face and the motions. What are you doing, Mick?
I have never understood a theory that is almost proven fact, and I still just can't wrap my head around it. And that is how many people who know the game of basketball will swear up and down how long it takes a big man to develop. And I mean the aggressive side. I kind of get the footwork. Some of them grow so quick, so fast, they get a little gangly, and it takes them a while to develop the proper footwork. I accept that. But the theory has been for almost every big man, you're the largest human being on the court every year of your life, and you have all of these parents gasping and telling you to calm down.
Yes.
Don't hurt my kid. Or your parents saying, be careful, be careful, be careful, every time when you're just playing. So then they get older, and now when you're saying, go dunk on that guy, they can't do it. They're afraid to hurt somebody. They don't have that ability because all they've heard is calm down, calm down. And for me, being a 6'1 high school power forward whose only job was to go and take charges and foul people, it doesn't register to me at all if you could destroy humankind in the paint and you choose to be nice. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And yet so many people time and time again say this is how it is. Well, maybe at the beginning of this month, till now, I shouldn't say that, the last 2 weeks, DeAndre Ayton is beginning to like what he is becoming. Because that's what all this matters. Does he like it? Because if he doesn't like it, he's just doing it to get people to get off his back. And he'll fall right back to where he was.
Correct.
But I have to believe he cares a lot about Chris Paul's opinion. And he told us that one day that you were off when he was on the show.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Still can't believe you guys did that. What a brutal.
You're very welcome.
What a brutal.
Well, we wanted it to move and have a good conversation.
It. Hey, Wolf's gone. Let's talk to DA.
And DeAndre Ayton said to all of us who were paying attention and not you, that no one had taken the time as a player-to-player conversation as Chris Paul has and is, teaching him defense, teaching him what Chris Paul sees, and getting him to see like this. And whether or not that the actual basketball IQ is going up, what's really happening is DA, for better or for worse, feels like Chris Paul cares about me. Chris Paul really isn't just yelling at me to get better.
That's what
is showing
is.
Me.
That's what teaching is right there.
You can see him respond now.
You got to reach somebody before you can teach somebody. And CP3 knows that better than anybody. And I'm sure that's what they're doing. Now, there's going to be points where it's going to take some cold, hard facts. It's going to take some reality. It's going to take the flat shovel, metaphorically speaking, to get the attention of DeAndre Ayton because he still has room to grow. He still has so much more room to grow. And by the way, make him reach. Make him reach, man. This is something that my old coach used to say all the time. We're going to reach with you. He'd point some rookie out, some guy that had some talent, had some skill, and he'd say, we're going to reach with you, and you're going to reach with us. In other words, what he was saying is we're going to raise that bar, and you're going to reach.
I love that attitude. And I don't think Monty should change anything except one thing. While he's progressing in a positive way, I think two things should happen. One, because you'll win more games, and two, because it helps his development. Get him the ball. I totally stand by him not getting a lot of paint touches when he's passing the ball out, not being aggressive, not breaking people's arms in the paint. He's not the best option. But in these last few games, when he's showing you he's actually getting it, and you're going 25% from the three-point line, how are you not calling plays and saying, put that man on the block and give him the ball?
Absolutely. And right now, if you're a team playing the Suns, what are you going to do? You're going to defend the three. That's
yes,
what you're really
yes.
going to do. You're going to defend the three, which should make it easier for DA to get the ball in the half court and score a deuce.
Mm.
A little pick and roll with Chris Paul. Makes sense.
By the way, one other thing that maybe you don't want to think about, but you should probably hear Chris Paul talk about it. It was January 26th, 2020, 1 year ago today, that Kobe's helicopter went down.
Oh, man.
Today is the sad one-year anniversary of the world losing Kobe. And somebody in the media yesterday had a brilliant idea. I think it was Dwayne Rankin. I want to give him a free plug, but I can't remember who it was for sure. Said tomorrow is the anniversary. So this is yesterday's Zoom press conference. And what just tell us about you, your feelings that day going into his anniversary tomorrow, how you felt. So that anniversary is today. And man, when Chris Paul said, I don't even like to think about it, we're a year later and he still, when someone says that, you know, they still are in denial. They're smart enough to not, but you know what I mean? They just don't want to accept the reality because it's so painful.
Legacy. I know it's a lot. It's a lot. Try not to think about it too often, tell you the truth, but kind of surreal, you know, for a lot of guys in our league. You know, Kobe was sort of this mythical figure. Some of them didn't get a chance to know him, but for some of us, he was a friend, a brother, you know, so yeah, just big time legacy. Mm.
Legacy. It's what others say about you. Never forget that, my friends. Not what you say about yourself. It's what other people say about you. Legacy. That's what legacy is.
Hmm. He's got a good one. Coming up next, who could end up where? Did we ever think you were going to enter an offseason where Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and Deshaun Watson are all available? Where are they? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I have no idea what this song is right here, ladies and gentlemen, but I can tell you it feels good right now, does it not? I mean, something a little corny, something a little goofy, something a little minch.
Why do you always rip my music?
I'm just saying it's a little bit different right here. Could you inform me as to whom this band is?
The band is called Death From Above 1979. But the song came out in 2014.
Okay, that's just a little kooky. Okay, never play this again, Mitch. He got that.
You know what's so fantastic there is Mitch stopped it immediately for great humor, but then felt like, I need to stand up for myself. And then potted it back
Of course, every board op in the history of mankind does that.
That was classic.
You tell them to turn it down, and all they do is pot it up.
Are you buying what Adam Schefter is selling yesterday on Get Up?
He's under contract to the Green Bay Packers for three more seasons. So they control him for three more seasons. Unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go rogue here and force my way out of there, and I want to be traded.
The situation with Aaron Rodgers, for some, came to light yesterday with a sourced report, not from me or anything like that, so I'm just reading an article just like any of you, that partially his plan of attack for the things he said coming out of the NFC Championship game was for more control and for a voice in the plan going forward.
Hmm.
But the vast majority of the comments were specific to, I want a new contract that ties me to you more than before so I don't ever have to think about Jordan Love over my shoulder again. That I want that.
Really?
I want a new contract.
It just seems so insecure of Aaron Rodgers to say that. This guy just came off a season, an MVP season, where he had the highest quarterback rating by far of any other quarterback, 121.5.
You're not insecure by the way they keep developing Max Starks and Lorenzo? I mean, come on.
We all know that's going to happen at some point in time. That's beside the point.
I mean, I'm nervous they got Luke Lapinski hanging out all the time, and sometimes he even comes in the morning and just stares in the window at
Luke.
Me. So, I kind of get what Aaron Rodgers is insecure. Normally, I blast insecure people, but I got to say, you draft somebody in the first round to replace me when I think I've got a Super Bowl team,
right.
I would be a little insecure too.
Luke, I'm not your father. look, I know what you're saying, Douglas, honestly, but why in the world would the Green Bay Packers even get rid of Aaron Rodgers? Why would they be thinking of that right now? I know they drafted a quarterback in the first round. I understand that. But how could the Green Bay Packers sell the movement of Aaron Rodgers to their fan base? How could they do that? How could they sell that to the NFL, period? This is going to be more a situation, I think, of Brady and Jimmy G.
I'd have to ask some Packers fans to go back and really let us know, how did you feel with the Brett Favre exit? Because with that one, at least Aaron Rodgers had been there 2 or 3 years, I think it was, and he even played it. Remember the old Cowboy Stadium? He had played a huge game down there and played well.
Yeah,
and so Brett never missed a start, but he got hurt, and Aaron Rodgers played really well, and he looked good in preseason games. And this is a little different if you're a fan, I assume, because you still have never seen Jordan Love play.
Yes.
In a real meaningful moment. And at the same time, no preseason to build up hype about him, and to all of a sudden lose Aaron Rodgers. Because if you feel like you're a quarterback-hungry team, and we always mention San Francisco, because I do believe they're a quarterback away from a Super Bowl again, and I should say winning a Super Bowl, and you can't get me to believe the 49ers don't regret the decision of not going after Tom Brady. I mean, for John Lynch to actually admit in the offseason, we thought about it, and now Brady's in the Super Bowl, and you still have Jimmy G, and he didn't light it up this year. I got to believe they're thinking, man, where would we be with Brady? So when you
look at... You know what, though? Coming into this season, Douglas, based on what you just said right there, do you think Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers had an inkling that Aaron Rodgers was not happy? Do you think they had that inkling? I think they had that inkling that he was not happy.
Well, I think we all had the inkling after the Jordan Love decision.
But again, you got to remember, these guys, they work in the grapevine, the industry. They coaches talk to coaches. They know everybody. I've said this so many years. The grapevine is vast and varied in the National Football League, and they all talk to each other.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I can't imagine. I think there's rarely could you make a worse decision than saying, let's pass on an available Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is so old.
Because Rodgers, with 3 years left on his contract after the year, is going to be upset and we can go after him when he still has 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think when you've got a guy who's 42 at the time, Tom Brady, that you're looking at him and you're really thinking of him as a viable option, because you'd like to
John Lynch said they did.
You'd like to. I know they did, but they didn't do it, did
right,
they?
Right,
right. They didn't do it. So to me, I'm looking at it and thinking, yeah, they may have kicked around on Tom Brady, but why didn't they do it? Why
he said, you decide if you believe it.
Sure.
We believe enough in Jimmy G that we think Jimmy G got us to a Super Bowl. We're going to stick with Jimmy
G. All right. Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate that. But I do question whether or not that was the truth.
Here's your options if you're the 49ers now. Your options are to go another year with Jimmy G. The number one free agent quarterback is Dak Prescott, and nobody believes he's actually going to hit free agency. But technically, he's going to be a free agent in March, depending on the franchise tag. After that, you decide what order you want the other names in free agency. Fitzmagic, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Mitchell Trubisky, Tyrod Taylor.
Cam Newton!
So you see how far the free agent quarterback rotation drops after Dak, who we don't assume is going to be a free agent anyway. Your trade options. The only one we know for sure is Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
You've got that trade option. Or Aaron Rodgers is not bluffing and you can trade for him. Or Deshaun Watson doesn't have his situation solved, you trade for him. Other than that, you're talking draft.
Yeah, this is rough right here. You got to think about all of this.
I see an aggressive San Francisco team.
You do. You think they're bent on getting rid of Jimmy G.
I mean, would we all agree a healthy San Francisco team is not a playoff contender, is a Super Bowl contender with better quarterback play? And there still are, even with Jimmy G quarterback play. So now, if that's the only thing that's stopping you, aren't you going to kick the tires on everybody, including Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, no, I think that's an absolute. Boy, you have to wonder what is going on with the Texans right now. You have to. When you bring up Deshaun Watson, Douglas, how serious is this?
Over the weekend, the newest report said he officially wants out. Granted, it's a report. No quotes directly from Deshaun Watson, but Chris Mortensen said he wants out, and Eric Bieniemy is still not the head coach of the Texans.
What is going on? That is so suspicious right there. I don't even know what to say about that. But if you told me that I could have the pick of the litter of anybody that might be out there, and again, we stress might, I think Stafford, for the most part, that is a done deal in regard to Matthew Stafford
right.
can be had because they are parting ways in Detroit. Mutual parting of the ways, so to speak. You've got Aaron Rodgers and you've got Deshaun Watson, and you know they're both very, very unhappy. I don't know if the NFL's ever seen a circumstance like this at the quarterback position in all of its history, where you've got guys that are that good, that accomplished, where suddenly they could be had at some point in time. I don't know if we've ever seen an offseason with that kind of talent at the quarterback position that could be had.
I'm not a football historian, so I can't answer, but I would say Reggie White is the greatest free agent signing of all time because Green Bay needed people to come there. Drew Brees is either number one or number two, and Drew Brees wasn't as accomplished necessarily as the other ones. Drew Brees had an okay year with the Chargers, then had an average year. Then they drafted Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers held out. And Drew Brees was fantastic.
Drew Brees.
And then he became a free agent. And remember, the Miami doctors told Nick Saban,
"Yeah,
we don't trust that shoulder. Don't sign Drew Brees." The Dolphins went with Dante Culpepper, and Drew Brees became a Saint. Think about the gap between you could have Drew Brees or Dante Culpepper.
Yes.
Versus if the rumors are true going into 2021, you could have Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson.
So you're telling me that's why Nick Saban won 7 championships. Is that what you're telling me?
Right he didn't because stay with the Dolphins.
Because Drew Brees.
Who knows if
Forget
Drew
about
Brees,
it. You're not going to get Drew Brees.
If Drew Brees was a Dolphin, maybe he's still the head coach. I just don't see a scenario where they're going to trust Jimmy G back in the NFC West. And I think we're going to have somebody there. And it is easy to make the connection to Aaron Rodgers. It really is easy from the 49ers and Aaron Rodgers standpoint. Now, the Packers, I'm assuming, are going to have a say in this.
Yes.
And if they are going to get rid of him, I don't see it to a team in the conference.
Yeah.
Coming up next, which characteristics of the two Super Bowl teams? You look at the Chiefs, you look at the Bucks, and you say the Cardinals need that. What is that? Tweet us at Doug and Wolf 98.7. We'll tell you our opinion next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.